You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 802 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 737-803-7776 if you want to get in here. Chris wants to talk about his Astros. Let's get him in. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, John and Lance. Good morning. Hey, before I ask you guys my question, I just wanted to give a big thanks out to the Astros this year for a great season. You know, being at Minute Maid this year during all the pandemic stuff, you know, they allowed masks to be optional. They don't require shots to get in. They don't check your shot records like they're doing in New York. And it was a good escape for most of us to just go to the game and enjoy the Astros. And that's what it's all about, right, guys? That's what it's all about. And I appreciate them giving us the freedom to make our own choices. Hey, catch me up, Mr. John. If the Astros win tonight, do they win the division?
With a loss by Seattle. A win and a loss by Seattle.
Magic number still two.
Still two.
Okay, so that being said, basically, Tampa Bay series on Thursday, wherein I go, is that game's not going to mean very much, probably. So, do you guys, you know, put your coaching hats on? Do you rest guys? Do you try to get them straight because we've been struggling? I mean, how do you approach the last end of the season, Coach John and Lance? And do you think Dusty Baker will do the same as y'all?
No, you don't, because you've got to beat the White Sox. Right now, you've only got a 2.5 game lead over the White Sox.
Well, it depends on. I think Dusty will try to rest people if things are, and it may only be two games or a single game. I think when he gets a chance to rest them, he will. There's not a lot of games left.
There's only six.
Yeah.
There's six, but you only have a 2.5 game lead over the White Sox.
Okay, let's say you win today and the White Sox lose and they're 3.5 back. I think it increases the odds that the last two games of the year, Dusty tries to rest guys.
Yes.
Like Yordan will rest. Anybody who's had injuries, Altuve will rest for sure. I don't know about Bregman. It's not like you can just put the second team in and a whole new lineup
in. He's been doing a lot of that lately. His lineups have been, what the hell is going on?
You know, my dad called. He goes, boy, but Dusty, I told you, my dad is the biggest Astros fan now. Right. In his years and years of coaching, you know, I grew up here in Houston. He was a coach at University of Houston. We followed the Astros, obviously, for my whole life. But he got away from it. He went to coach in different cities. He calls me about Astros all the time. He goes, boy, with Dusty Baker, you just like, he goes, you know what 7, 8, and 9 is going to look like? You literally have no idea what 1 through 6 is going to look like with Dusty. Yeah. He goes, is that what he did last year too? I'm like, it's COVID, is a little different. But I said, yeah, Dusty's just going to kind of mix and match.
Now,
I'm actually okay with.
No, I'm okay
with
it.
Static lineup to me is not always the best answer.
No, and he's got so many moving parts with this lineup, with the injuries but Michael Brantley and, you know, guys hitting well and then not hitting well and all of this stuff. If they win a couple of games here and they close the division out, well, we see the White Sox lose. I can certainly see it. Here's the thing, though. You know, you're playing up until Sunday. You got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday off, and then you finally play again on Thursday. You want these guys to still be in, you know, they're going to have a long enough time off. You got 3 days off before the playoffs start. So, I'm not sure that you rest guys. You want them to still keep going in and having their eye and having their timing and all of this stuff. They're going to have a long enough break with 3 days off. So I want the guys to play.
I think it's, but it's also, you know, they're going to be working on those days off. They're not just going to be sitting at home.
No, but it's a lot different taking BP than it is in games.
I agree, but I think Dusty and Strami and the entire staff are going to know their players better than us. I mean, if they think guys are physically worn down, that's a long season.
Yeah.
And I think Altuve, who is not a young player anymore, you know, Altuve could use some rest. I think some of those guys, Yordan, who, you know, Yordan has had his issues at different times physically, generally self-inflicted. But I think he'll play. I do think there will be some guys who may get some rest. Do you pitch Ryan Pressly? hardly.
Absolutely.
I mean, you
got
you
a
do
long
now.
Time off.
You do now, but yeah.
You got a long break.
But there is a benefit of taking some time off.
There's a benefit, there's but there's benefit. Also some rust. And I think that you got to find the exact. And listen, I don't think you overthrow anybody. And I think if a guy, you know, if Bregman needs a day off or Correa needs a day off, and if you're feeling like they're getting more prone, these guys follow how prone you are to injury because of how much you've run. And if Jordan, sit them. I don't give a rat's ass.
Well, but that's why if they hit a certain thing, they're going to rest them. Like, what if I told you the season was 182 games? Is there a number where you'd say rest them? Like, I think we get into a perpetual mindset of, no, we get so worried about this concept, and fans really don't. We don't matter. It's with the team. But from a performance standpoint, I wonder what the performance says about guys who are able to get a rest. This is a long, long schedule. What if we said, okay, it's a 182-game schedule? Is there any number where you think where rest becomes a major factor, where you acknowledge, man, they're probably worn down. They're going to need some rest. It certainly outweighs the whole concept of rest versus rust. Because I think at the end of a baseball season, I get less worried. I think there are guys who need, and it's not everybody. And Bregman had a long period off, so I'm not sure if Bregman falls into this category. Altuve does fall into the category. I would go ahead and say I don't know that a lot of the Astros necessarily fall into this category because, as you mentioned, you got a center field spot. Right field missed some time with injury. Uncle Mike's getting help, you know, he's resting right now. You flip-flopped a bunch of guys in center field over during the year. Bregman had a long time off. You got Carlos, you got Altuve, you got Yuli. Yuli's had some time off, but those are three guys that are not, two of them aren't young on the right side of the infield. It might not be a bad thing to get some rest. I think it's kind of overblown. The more we talk about it, so they're out a game or two. Definitely not the end of the world.
No.
I'd be more worried about a pitching staff that is fatigued.
Well, let me ask you this question. You know they do the big celebration with the champagne because they win the division. I think that they should hold that off until they have home field advantage against the White Sox. You know what? Don't celebrate the division win. Celebrate that you got home field against the White Sox because that's the best you can do. You're not beating Tampa for best record in the league. The best you can do right now is home field against the White Sox. And once you do that, now you have your champagne celebration. Because everybody's going to come back to the park.
That's not going to happen, though.
Well, I know, but unfortunately, well, here's the deal, is Seattle is going to play later than you are, so you could possibly clinch well after you finish your game.
Right.
So there might not be a champagne celebration unless they stick around, and then it's going to be late. Then they're going to be hungover
for
the Tampa game the next day, and they got to win that game because they got to get home field.
They don't drink the alcohol. They only pour it.
No one
drinks it.
That's Dustin Johnson.
No one drinks it.
Dustin Johnson drinks it.
You just pour it.
Okay.
You just pour it.
No. You drink it.
Do you remember, is this still sponsored? When I was at the 15 playoff game in New York, I was in there. I got footage from when I was periscoping it back in the day. It was so much fun. They were just going crazy. And they were bringing in, you know, those the giant hampers. We even had them when we were kids and, you know, when we were in junior high and high school playing football. You know, the great big hamper on rollers that they roll and you throw your jerseys in. So they brought those in and it was filled with Budweisers and Bud Lights because they were the official sponsor of the post-game celebration. And it was just filled so you could open it up and pour it all over people. And I think it was just cans, but I never forget the memory of, wow, this is a sponsored thing now. You know, the Bud, the product placement for Bud and Bud Light is in there. But the amount of guys, the amount of beer that was all over the place, all I could think of was the cleanup on this is going to be astounding.
Awful.
And they had plastic up. There was plastic up in the locker room.
Yeah.
But that's a one-game series. See. Whoever wins gets to pour, although in that game, if you remember correctly, the Astros were able, you kind of got the feeling, okay, you better go get the plastic up with the Astros because they're going to be the winners.
Yeah. Well, I would, if it was sponsored by Bud Light, I would protest and I would not celebrate with my team. That's all.
Would you not?
I'd go in the stands and I'd celebrate with a nice, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. But that's just me. Hey, bottom of the hour, Rory on a mobile is going to be joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we'll talk to him about how really emotional it was to lose, and but to have that team that he loves, those guys that he loves. You know, they're from all over Europe, not from his country, but, you know, those guys that he loves, those Euros. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. If you want to get in before then, 713-780-3776. In the meantime, I want to talk about my bookie, mybookie.ag, promo code 97BET975. Promo code BET975. Put that in, and when you make your initial deposit, or if you're already on MyBookie, or if you used to be on MyBookie and you want to make a deposit, they'll double it up to $1,000. Doesn't matter. Everybody, not just new people, not just new subscribers, everybody that is on MyBookie or gets on MyBookie is going to get that $1,000 match at MyBookie.ag. You're going to love MyBookie.ag. It's so much fun to play. It's easy to navigate. It's pretty self-explanatory. It can't be easier for you to find the bet, make the bet, and then when you need to get your money out, you get your money out. There's no problem. All right. So if you're looking for a great way to play, win, and get paid, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Promo code BET975.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Learn from it and move on. I've said it a number of times, and I feel this way after every loss. You know, but I take responsibility for how this game went tonight. I take responsibility for that. I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to learn from it. We're going to be a better team from it. I believe that. I truly believe that. You know, you take your deuce, you don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. We're going to flush it and move on.
That was Jalen Hurts dropping a deuce. When you drop a deuce, you don't sit there and look at it. Unless it's spectacular, okay? I had a buddy who used to drop a big one, and he'd send a picture of it. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to see that, your pictures of your deuce, okay? When you drop a deuce, you flush it and you move on, okay? And that's what we're going to do with this loss, Jalen Hurts says. He didn't look good. Dak looked good. Cowboys looked pretty good. I hate that, but they did. I think the Cowboys might be better than the Texans this year. They're going to win the silver boot. Or whatever it is.
What Texans already brought home the Governor's Cup.
Oh, the Governor's Cup. That's right. That's right. The Governor's Cup. That's right.
Sitting
the
Texans, up in Cal's office right as we speak.
I think it's probably more important, you know, your regular season record. I'm pretty sure, but okay. All right. That preseason win, yeah, that's pretty big. Congratulations to us, Governor's Cup champions. So there was that.
I watched the Manning cast full on.
Yeah.
Full on, start to finish.
It's really
saw
good.
Matthew Stafford. It was Matthew Stafford. They have a different guest every quarter. That Matthew Stafford followed by LeBron James, followed by Nick Saban, who wasn't as good as I was hoping, followed by Chris Long. And I mean, they have good guests.
They have There's really no question. Good. I mean, everybody's going to want to be on that now.
Yeah, it's if you're Brian Greasy and Louis Riddick, Levy. You're like. So that the viewership went from 900,000 the first week to 1.6 million the second week. It picked up almost double. And my guess is it will go up again, and at some point it's going to come back down a little bit. That's a hell of a pull. And when you're watching it, I called my dad up and said, "You watching this?" Yeah, you know, he was watching it too, and he goes, "Boy, they've got some things." When they mention Peyton, will mention the way they're protecting a certain thing, like they don't. And my dad knows. I told him for years that fans wanted more advanced football stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'd know what I said. I'm telling you, Dad, they want to know. I was telling them this 8 years ago. I said, getting more advanced X's and O's stuff out there is a big deal because more and more people want that. Well, that's what this is. Now they ask questions of each other. Obviously, they know the answers because they're setting it up for them to tell fans. But listening to them talk about safety play and certain looks and protections and stuff, golly, from a football standpoint, it's awesome.
I'm telling you, I think this is the future.
It 100%
it's the Mannings,
the future.
And they have so much. They couldn't be. This couldn't be a better idea because those guys are such person. Well, Eli is Eli. But
it's comedy
and
it's X's and O's. It's a combination.
Entertaining and informative.
It's a combination of the two. And they are uniquely suited. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
It's easy to say. Oh, you used to do this with it. Jeff Van Gundy could do this in a heartbeat for basketball.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat for basketball. But for football, with this, the thing that makes it, like, Eli is kind of a dud sometimes. And then sometimes he's really funny. You never know. Peyton is on point most of the time. And then the guests, you know, how they're interviewing the guests versus talking about the game, that's still kind of a work in progress of how they want to talk about that. But they had some interesting stuff with LeBron James. The thing with Nick, so they had a play where Peyton goes, that was a pass from an Alabama quarterback, Hurts, to an Alabama wide receiver, Smith, and the interception was by an Alabama cornerback who went for a touchdown. Three Alabama players. Join us now is Nick Saban. They bring in Nick Saban. One of the things that was shocking to me is Nick Saban said the number is either 73 or 75 players who are on rosters in the NFL from Alabama. It was either 73 or 75. He goes, I think he said 75. He said, we take great pleasure in there's 75 players, and not all of them are starting or even on the active rosters.
Kidding?
But on practice squads and everything, 75.
Well, that's unbelievable. That's like the
Alabama.
Astros number.
I know. No, it's very similar numbers. So,
all right. So what happened last week? Last week, Pat McAfee dropped a son of a B on the air, and he caught a little bit of, hey, you know what? They're getting a little bit loosey.
It's cable-y. It's kind of cable-ish.
It is cable-ish. Oh. It is, but it is. There's kids watching. It's still a sporting event.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it is Disney. And, you know,
a lot of families, dads are watching at home on that channel. Yeah. Or moms, and they're watching on that because Peyton's so
hot. Well, Eli.
They want to see the hot Peyton Manning.
Eli kind of went, I think maybe he's going to get a little talking to. Here is the sound. And all you got to do is imagine Eli throwing double rods at the camera while he's talking about this. He's got his
first
two.
He held it back.
And then
he knew better. And Peyton goes, go ahead and do it or whatever. Like he encouraged him. And Eli goes,
and Eli
bang!
Gave shot. Double rods at the camera.
You go to Philly, I mean, you're getting the double bird right away from a 9-year-old kid. I would give the bird. I don't know. Can we do that? Can you? I'm sure you can blur that out, right? It's over now. Yeah. So, I mean, getting double bird by a 9-year-old, and they're saying things about my mom and Peyton. And I can't even tell you what they said about mom.
I can't tell you what they said about
mom. That's Philly fan.
Now, do you have his apology sound?
Did he apologize?
Oh, yeah. He came on the air and apologized. Yeah, Aaron's pulling it right now. Here, listen to this.
I'm sure you got a talking to.
They came back from a break.
Yeah.
Here you go.
All right. Sorry. Earlier, I gave the double bird. I guess that's frowned upon, so I apologize if I offended anybody. I thought I was just – that's what a 9-year-old did to me. I thought I could do it back. So, Chris, I blame you. I blame you for that.
Yeah.
Eli, you can't throw double rods on the air, okay? Can you stop? All right, that you just can't do that anymore, Eli. So, David Letterman has been making the rounds. Now, this is not the only time he's done this. Apparently, he has done this some before, where he at some sporting event or some press conferences. All of a sudden, David Letterman appears and starts asking questions. Will Ferrell has done this a little bit of this, too, and he's surprised some people. But the Brooklyn Nets had their media day, and it was a Zoom call with Kevin Durant. And David Letterman came in, and Kevin Durant...
He either didn't know who David Letterman was or was just simply not amused. My guess is he probably just wasn't amused. I know. Do you get the sense that he's a jokey, guffaw guy? He fights with 14-year-olds who have...
I get the sense that he's becoming a douche.
No, he is a douche.
Yeah.
No, he's not becoming. He has been. He lost all of his cool points. Everything, you know, My mom's a real MVP. He seemed like a cool, likable guy in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And then the Golden State move was a douchey move, but like, well, whatever.
He caught a lot of crap, and he is so thin-skinned.
The things that he has said publicly now on social media, you get a sense of the real Kevin Durant, and I think he's also been kind of changed and altered fundamentally by social media, where he is. Remember when he first came up, I don't think there was even Twitter wasn't even really a thing when KD first came up, and now it is, obviously. And he's just kind of cranky all the time.
Yeah.
Like he's always mad. He fights with kids. Anybody who says something negative about him on an Instagram comment will catch his burner account. Like, he has burner accounts to rag on people. He lost all of his cool points a long time ago, really. And this David Letterman thing, I heard David ask these questions. Yeah.
And maybe they weren't all that funny. Okay, I get it. But Kevin Durant couldn't have been more.
It was real deadpan.
David was deadpan. Kevin Durant looked disinterested and couldn't have been. I don't know. He couldn't have been douchier. Here is the exchange.
The gentleman with his hand raised in the back.
Yes. Excuse me. Hi, Kevin. Could I borrow your notebook? I didn't bring. Thank you. Dave from Basketball Digest. Kevin, KD, why do people call you KD? Can I call you KD?
Okay. My first name is Kevin.
Uh-huh. Right.
And my second name, my last name. My second name. My last name is Durant with a D.
KD? This year, what percentage do you plan on giving on the court? 90, 95, 100, 110? What are we looking at?
110.
I just got off the phone with the Dolan family, and they said that they're talking to the commissioner now. They're looking at working a contractual deal that will allow you, when you're not playing for the Nets, days off, you'll be able to play for the Knicks. Comments?
All right, Dave, that was the last one.
I'm sorry, was that a comment?
That's it.
How about you? Do you have a comment? Wrap it up. Dave. Okay. I'm being told my time is done. Have a great year. What about the Pelicans? When you guys play the Pelicans, does it kind of make you giggle?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all I got. That's it, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
That finally got him to kind of. He was sitting there the whole time just. Like, I don't know. Kevin, what happened? Kevin Durant, enjoy your, you can't be more successful and have a better career. You're the best player in the NBA.
That's enough, dude.
Lighten up, bro. Say 27, Rory McIlroy on a mobile.
It's like he isn't having fun.
No.
No, but you got to set up, Rory. You got to talk about Rory.
Well, we're going to.
Let people hear it. Yeah.
Hear from Rory, and then we're going to talk to him.
Yeah.
We'll hear for the soundbite, because Rory apparently was very emotional.
Yeah, apparently he had some problems.
No, he was very emotional about the whole Ryder Cup thing. So it was, I don't know if there was problems. I think he was just, he couldn't even hardly talk because he was so emotional about playing with that Ryder Cup, with that Ryder Cup team. So that was awesome. So right now, though, what we got to talk about is TGS Insurance.
TGS Insurance has been doing this for I think it's like 5 years now, where you text the word money to 23-23-23. They're extremely popular because they found a better way to do homeowners insurance. Now, listen, getting the A-rated insurance is very, very important. Once you have A-rated insurance, once you know that's what you've got, you can start to shop prices because you want to make sure you have that. Those are the only companies that TGS Insurance will do business with. What they do is they aggregate those companies, and then they shop those A-rated companies for your homeowner's insurance and try to find you the lowest rate. They're able, instead of you calling all these different places, they're able to do it all at once, get you the lowest rates, and they can even help you switch over your insurance account same day. And in many cases, within 45 minutes, you're switching over to a new account, and you don't even have to worry about it. They make it super easy for you. Text the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323, or go to tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst,
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ryder Cup, U.S. wins it. 19-9, total, utter domination. Unbelievable how well the U.S. played. And, you know, I could certainly see the disappointment for the European team. They'd been playing so well. They had won 7 of 9. The U.S. had won once in the last 13 years. So for them to come in here and just get totally manhandled the way that they did. But I don't think that's what was disappointing to. I don't think it was actually a disappointment to Rory. I think more it was how he felt about his teammates. When you listen to this soundbite, after Rory was done, he had won his singles match. He was their leadoff, and he had won his singles match. He had not played well before that. But you'll hear the emotion in his voice, and I think it's more not about disappointment, but I think it's more about how much he cared for his teammates. Here's Rory after the match.
Gotten to do this 6 times. They've always been my greatest experiences in my career. I have never really cried or got emotional over what I've done as an individual. I couldn't give a shit, but this team and what it feels like to be a part of, to see Sergio break records, to see John Rahm come into his own this week, to see one of my best friends, Shane Lowry, but make his Ryder Cup debut. All that is just, it's phenomenal, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. I'm disappointed that I didn't contribute more this week. In 2 years time we'll go again and try to, obviously it's not over yet, but we'll give it another go again. Sorry for swearing back then as well.
Okay. Rory, thanks for taking the time. I know you're emotional.
He was, and you couldn't really hear it as much in his voice, but he was emotional. I mean, he was tearing up and he was choking up some, and he even talked about crying a little bit. So we thought we'd get him on the show. Rory on a mobile is joining us here on ESPN 97.5, an emotional Rory on a mobile here with us. Welcome to the show, Rory. How are you? Are you any better today?
I was never been better. I think you've got a mischaracterization of, you could hear it. I was fine. I wasn't sad at all. I was sad, but I wasn't. You make it sound like I was a blubbering idiot. That wasn't. I was, obviously, you could hear some things early on. It sounded like I was sniffling really bad ragweed. And I took it like a man. We barely, look, I was a little bit upset because we let it get away from us. And we had it in our, we snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Well,
we're right there on the precipice of winning again.
Yeah.
And then the last day, we just let it get away from us.
No, not really. It was 11-5.
And we let it, and that's what's the devastating part, is that we had that. We had, we're set to win another, we're set to win another Ryder Cup. And, it's just a couple of shots went astray.
No.
I didn't play well. And, I feel like if I could have really brought my A game, it might have been a lot different. And we might, be Ryder Cup champs again. But at no point was I ever sad, like crying or whatever. And
sound like you're a little emotional now.
I was upset
now.
That we... No, I'm not emotional. What? You hear me laughing? That's me laughing. I'm not sad at all. I'm just upset that we let one get away from us. Oh. We had it right there.
No.
2 shots going to the ditch, and then Jesper Sundstrom and Heinrich Mogovic, 2 guys from my team, I believe, made some bad shots into a ditch. And one of them even, and what I thought was so bad was that we played so poorly. You remember that drive that didn't make it to the ladies' tee? And then John Rahm had to take his pants off and play pantsless because he didn't make it to the ladies' tee. I didn't know that's what you do in this country, and it was sad to see that happen.
Yeah, no, we would all have been sad, but that actually didn't happen. It must have been something that you, I don't. And oh, by the way, yeah, it was 19-9, which is a total ass kicking. I don't know.
Well, that's not really accurate. I mean, do the math. If you could still come back from that, we had it. We come back from bigger deficits.
Yeah, no, no one's ever come back from that deficit. But okay, yeah, the analytics say you guys aren't you were not very good. What was it? Now, as we understand, you just had must have been awfully emotional having your baby, your first child this year. Well, awesome. You and Erica Stoll been married, and now you have a child. I would imagine if this, that must have been some kind of an emotional day for you.
I mean, the baby never, look, I'll admit this. I was a little bit tired there. You may have heard what appeared to sound like emotions at the beginning, and I'll admit this. Yeah, I was a little bit emotional because I knew I had to go back to my wife and my baby. The baby won't shut up, so I can't even get any sleep. As you know, it's devastating when you have a baby because you can't sleep anymore. Wow. And so it's tough. I mean, it makes it really tough on a golfer. And then my wife, who is a Yank, she's been brutal. I expected her to be on my side and to cheer for me. I know she was born in New York, and she's a Yank, but I mean, she was like, she's doing these things. The whole week has been terrible. The whole lead up, the month has been terrible. She'll hold up a bag of chips and say, these are real chips. It's French fries. These are real chips. You've done, and then she'll say things about my teeth. And I'm like, I'm not even British. And she's like, I don't care. You all got bad teeth. And saying things about dentist jokes. And then she plays Hamilton all the time. Like, I'm supposed to care about this. She plays as loud as she can. She'll be blasting the musical Hamilton. And I'm like, I was not part of that. I don't even care about that. Why are you acting like it's, and she's like, we whipped your ass in, 17, 76, and we're going to whip your ass. Now I'm just like, just go tend to the baby. I'm trying to sit here and play Tiger Woods golf. I play an older version of video games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would she play Hamilton of right. all things? Who cares about what happened with Aaron Burr and all these old white men? I don't care about that. I just want you to make the baby shut up, and I just want to go play golf and stay away forever. I mean, come back and see you.
Well, it sounds like, wow, that you're getting brutalized in your own home.
And my teeth are absolutely fine. There's nothing that has to do with the dentist. I don't, this teeth thing. And the Brit, I'm Irish. We're right. different.
Right.
But we had, and she's like, oh, then why don't you go boil me a potato? Oh, that's right. You haven't seen one in two centuries. I'm like, that's not even, why are you making famine jokes? This
right.
is ridiculous. I'm married to you. I've given you two cars.
At least she didn't give you any Lucky Charms jokes, because they're magically delicious. Nothing like that. Because you're kind of shorter and. You had issues with when you were going out with the tennis player.
I had a beer and she called me a drunk.
Listen,
Irish. It doesn't mean I'm a drunk. Stop saying that. Now she'll be fine now that we let one slip away, and the Americans got us. I'm sure she's going to be fine, and she'll get back to being a loving, caring wife. But man, I just didn't expect it to be that brutal. That it would be that brutal that she would come with all these terrible jokes and trash talk me and chat USA, USA. She's got one of those red hats on. It's just an absolute. It was such a tough, tough time. And to know that we had them right there, had them, and we let it get away. And my best friend John Rahm and I, we were going to go have a baked potato, the skins, that you have with the bacon and the cheese at your Friday's place. We were going to have one of those. And then, all of our plans were shattered after we blew the match on Sunday with we had it. That should have been ours.
Slipped
up at the end a little bit there.
Yeah. You just slipped up 19-9. How'd you like Wisconsin and all the cheese? I mean, do you guys have cheese in Ireland?
Yeah, I don't live in Ireland, so I don't know why you're continuing. Why is it you and my wife are just sitting there acting like I'm just some guy at the end of at the end of a rainbow, just sitting there in a pot of gold, just pounding pints and
with
eating
pink
potatoes
and yellow moons and orange
understand.
Stars and green
clovers. I eat hamburgers. I don't eat potatoes. I don't drink Irish whiskey. I don't, none of the stuff that you say. And we were, you know what, and we were, and you'd say this, and I was like, boy, you're acting like this, but, I mean, it was so close. So close. Now the baby won't shut up, and it's like, just, I'm tired of it all, you know. And John Rome won't text me back. He's ghosted me. Left me on red for 4 days. I know it, and I know it's because he thinks I played partly.
Well, he played, John Rahm was awesome. You kind of, you struggled a little bit, maybe because you're tired, I guess. Yeah, the baby, you know, just somebody make the baby shut up, please. That'd be great. And you could play better golf. No, are you okay?
I'm sitting here laughing.
No, that doesn't sound like, that doesn't sound like laughing.
That's a funny joke.
The baby. Well, go back to the baby.
There's a lot of choking going on. I'm not crying at all. You're crying.
Maybe go back to the baby and best of luck now with the rest of, you know, 2 years without, you know, with the Americans having the Ryder Cup. That's congrats. Well, he was right. They were right there, you know, down 9-3 and then 11-5 and then just got their ass handed to them.
They were only down a touchdown. What are you talking
about? Well, it's golf, though, so it's different. But okay. I'm not sitting at the end of a rainbow. some people, what was her name? The tennis player he went out with. Anyway, she thought he was a little leprechaun, but okay. And oh, by the way, his wife now, Erica Stoll, is a little bit bigger than him. But I don't want to make any, you know, leprechaun jokes. We appreciate him joining us. That was fun. Rory McIlroy on a mobile here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But they were right there. Right there. 844 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance?
They weren't right there. It was
a blowout.
Over from the first day.
Yeah, it was all blowout.
And it's kind of like the same battle that Simple Seats is facing right now. Simple Seats, it's over the first day. When you make the comparison to StubHub or Ticketmaster, any of these ticket sites, Vivid, right? You can compare them to any ticket site. And I had Josh, one of our listeners, texted like, oh my gosh, you were dead on about that. We went to the game and saved, I think it was some, I can't remember what the amount of money was, but you're going to find the same thing. If you get 4 tickets to an Astros game, for example, no matter where you get the games, they do, they're mostly, well, they're local. So they do Astros and Texans and Dynamo and U of H and A&M and Texas. So if you want to get to that Bama A&M game, you can get it there. But I can promise you this. You're never going to see a fee. No convenience fees, no handling fees, no transfer fees, none of that. You're going to see the lowest price that they have. You'll know exactly how much you're going to pay. You'll know either exactly where you're going to seat, or you can sit in a zone, a section, an area, and it costs even less. Simple Seats. These are real tickets. They're easy to get in and out, click quickly, and you got your tickets. It's in just a matter of seconds, and you are always getting it at the lowest price. Don't pay these ridiculous prices and ridiculous fees. Go to SimpleSeats.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
848 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Sage Rosenfeld's joining us in about a half an hour from now here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We got a message on Twitter from Allison who said, I heard that KD is a guest on Letterman's Netflix show this season, and this is a promo KD was in on.
Oh, really?
But I haven't found that anywhere. I Googled, and...
Well, I didn't find that KD would be a very interesting guest, that's for sure.
I have not, once again, I have not seen that, but he's got a... Our next guest is what David Letterman does, and he's had a lot of different interesting guests on. And we'll see if that's the case. We'll see if KD was in on it. Because if KD was, it might be, maybe it was that KD was playing it straight. You know what I'm saying? Maybe. Because here's the thing that I did find curious at the time. This would not surprise me now thinking about it. Why would, you know how NBA teams are, right?
Mm-hmm.
The media relations department. Why would they just give him a microphone and let him ask that many questions in a row rather than coming to get it, getting it and giving it to someone else? Did you notice he had free rein to ask four or five questions?
Yeah. Well, that, like David Letterman.
I know, but that doesn't usually happen, though. And when KD said that's enough, he's still got more questions in.
Yeah.
Usually, they'll cut a mic off or they'll just take the mic from you. No, I get it. And maybe that's why he was in on it.
Yeah.
Maybe this is part of a Netflix
deal. Well, that's all right, but he was still a douche.
Well, that's maybe that's a part. No, I think he is anyway.
Yeah.
But this might be him playing it straight.
Mm.
So, Billy Reinhart, who I think covers the Warriors. Or no, he covers the Nets for Nets Daily. He said Ryan Ruoco was the first one who said this is all to promote his our next guest appearance with David Letterman.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Ryan Ruoco.
Yeah. Okay. So they're promoting. You know what I don't want to watch? That. Because Kevin Durant is so, I mean, oh, whatever. So what, look at, there's a graph right here by Over the Cap.
Yeah.
Spending this offseason, who spent the most?
Football?
Yeah.
Who spent the most?
Yeah, it's not even close.
Yankees?
Football. You know, joking. In football.
I'm just joking.
Oh, no.
In football, it's not even close. Well, the Cowboys.
This offseason.
Cowboys. Oh, no. This offseason.
This offseason.
Who was it who spent all the free agents' money? I can't remember.
The Patriots.
Oh. Remember? Oh, yeah, that's right. All the tight ends and everything.
Yeah, they mean they just. And there's a graph of how much you spend. And the teams. Now, it is three games in.
I've seen this graphic. Yeah.
The Jets spent the second most. The Texans spent the third most. Between the three teams, they have two wins. The Tennessee's got a couple of wins, and they spent money this offseason. The Jags spent money this offseason. The Lions spent money this offseason. For the most part, and listen, I get it. Bill Belichick, I'm convinced that Tom Brady winning that Super Bowl just set Bill Belichick off, and he was going to, we have got to win, so let's go, and we're loading up, and the future be damned, because Bill Belichick isn't going to be there all that long. Bill Belichick has to win now, and he wants to prove, hey, all those years, it wasn't just about Tom Brady. Well, it's looking like it was all about Tom Brady, because the Buccaneers are pretty damn good, and the Patriots aren't. Now, that said, he did cut a veteran quarterback and went with a rookie, even though, well, but that's on him, because the veteran quarterback that he chose to pay this offseason was Cam Newton.
A guy who played poorly last year.
Yeah.
Who missed time due to COVID last year, and you knew wasn't vaccinated.
No,
and
he wasn't very good.
They didn't claim that was an issue. Some people think that Cam, a backup quarterback, not being vaccinated, which could, and the reason that's a big deal is that if an unvaccinated player were to get it a second time, like Lamar Jackson did, and give it to Mac Jones and the other guys in the quarterback room, you could be screwed, mm-hmm. like Denver was. Like you could literally, that's a loss. You're done. Bring somebody off the street. You have a tight end play quarterback, whatever the case may be. It's a loss. So that's one of the issues is they want the entire quarterback room to be vaccinated, I know.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I had a good discussion with a buddy of mine about this, about whether or not Cam was even given a chance to be a backup, or do people just automatically assume he wouldn't be a good backup because he would eventually talk or text. I think the problem is you see how – is there any call for – who's the backup? Do you even know who the backup is in New England right now? Oh, it's Hoyer.
Yeah.
It's Hoyer.
Yeah.
Do you hear anyone calling for Hoyer after the first three games?
No, because he's Hoyer.
Do you know what you would have had right now after the first three games?
If Cam was there, yeah.
Everyone calling for Cam. You've seen Cam.
Yeah.
You've done Cam. Cam's not the answer for you. He's an older player.
Well, but that's on you too. But why did you sign him last year? Why'd you?
Well, I thought that was strange too. And the amount of money they signed him for. Like,
well,
what
but it
world?
Was a lot of it was incentive. So
they also signed him before the draft.
Yeah.
You didn't know what you were getting before the draft.
That is true, but even still, I mean, I don't know. There wasn't much out there as far as free agency goes. You know who spent the least this offseason?
Not the Chiefs, not the Chargers.
No, pretty easy. Tampa. because they brought back all 22 starters.
Oh, so it's new money.
New money. This offseason. Spending this offseason.
Well, didn't they spend money to bring them back, though?
No.
They had a lot of free agents they had to bring back. I don't understand.
Outside acquisitions.
Oh, okay.
Outside acquisitions.
Yeah, because they didn't bring anyone outside the building.
Nobody.
The Houston Texans would be, obviously, a ton.
Houston Texans are third in the league in new acquisitions. The Jets were second. It's New England, the Jets, and then the Texans, the Jags, then the Titans, and the Lions. And for the most part, if you're trying to buy a team with new acquisitions in the offseason from other teams, you're not going to do all that well. The teams that are winning are right around the median, in spending. The teams that are winning, the teams that are 3-0. It's early. I don't suspect that the Broncos are going to be one of the leaders in the league. You believe in the Raiders?
So this is my thought. It's interesting you ask that because I thought the Raiders were an easy W against Miami. Miami scored a defensive touchdown. They got off to a 14-0 start, and then the Raiders put 25 straight on it. I watched the game. The Raiders are definitely better than Miami with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, which may mean they're just a better team. Part of my thing, John, was I'm basing that off of a win against who did they beat the first game on Monday Night Football? It's a pretty good win. Is it the Ravens?
They beat the Ravens.
Yeah. So that was a good win against the Ravens. They scored a touchdown. They screwed up in overtime. Then they ended up getting a touchdown. So, wow, they beat the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Ravens almost got beat by the Lions. I'm going to take you through this. Yeah, the Ravens won on a 66-yarder. The Ravens almost lost to the Lions. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, wow, beat the Ravens, beat the Steelers. The Steelers beat the Bills. Yeah. The Steelers got their asses kicked the week before they got beat by the Raiders, and then they got beat this week.
Cincinnati.
They got beat up by Cincinnati. I'm like, okay, how much was that Ravens game win really worth? You beat a Ravens team who almost lost to the Lions. You beat a Steelers team who just lost to the Bengals as well, and they can't move the ball at all. Their offense looked dreadful. Their offensive line is terrible. So I'm struggling right now with, it appears to be good wins. You've got wins against, and who's the win in between there? Oh, and Miami, the third one. Okay, so you've beaten three teams that a lot of people thought were going to be playoff teams. Ravens, Steelers, and Dolphins. But when you look at it, maybe the Ravens aren't as good. Maybe the Steelers aren't as good. And that's a Dolphin team that, you could argue about whether or not they're better with Tua or without Tua. I don't know. I feel like watching the Raiders, I feel like I'm kind of bought into them, that they're a better football team than people expect. But then there's times where I watch the play and it's not very good. On Chris Canty made a – I was listening to he and Golic Jr. yesterday. Canty was making the point that he thinks Derek Carr should be one of the favorites for MVP right now because what is expected of his team is much less than what's expected of Stafford's team. And Carr has less to work with than Stafford, so maybe Carr deserves to be MVP.
I don't think that it's – well, okay, I get that. But if he's playing – Derek Carr's playing really well. He deserves to be up there, period.
He is playing pretty
good
football.
And who else is playing? Max Crosby is a beast.
God, Max is playing great.
Oh, my
gosh. And Nassib actually has had some good games.
He is a one-man wrecking crew, that dude. Holy crap, he can't be blocked. And he has got it. They said he worked 365. He did not take a day off in the offseason.
You know, I told you, he's one of those guys who kept my scouting report, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When did you have him?
No, I mean, I didn't think he was going to be strong enough. If you look at him, he's not a real big, strong guy. He had 18 reps. He played like a demon. He played like a mean, tough, fast, hard-playing guy. The same way he played in college is how he plays in the pros. Only, you know what? He's skilled, and that's also a lesson that when you have a guy who plays like his hair's on fire all the time, those guys just tend to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. I thought he was more fifth-round guy who could be a quality backup, and clearly he is a much, much, much better player. It is interesting, though, his total sack total is 2. He hasn't had a sack for 2 straight games.
Oh, but he's so disruptive.
Right.
Holy crap.
But he has no chance of – like, you have 2 guys who have already had 4 sacks in a game. Chandler Jones got 4 in 1 game, and now Myles Garrett got 4.5 in a game. Do you know how far out that puts them from everybody else?
Yep.
And then watching TV, the most disruptive guy of all is still Aaron Donald, probably.
Yep.
It's still probably Aaron Donald.
Or, I don't think anyone's Max more. Crosby.
Max is good, but
getting there.
Aaron is like the numbers.
Yeah.
The numbers bear it out. And and Myles Garrett, too. Myles Garrett, I would say, is the favorite right now for the defense player.
All right, this will be our last segment of sports. Well, we've got Sage for two segments talking Texans football and whatnot, and then News of the Weird. So we got to catch up on a lot of different stuff that happened around the league. We've got updates on all kinds of different stuff. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Get no when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. ESPN 97.5.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.